You're in tune with World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement. An achievement of a different kind has evolved over the last few days within the corridors of power at Cricket Canada. And the outfall is that there is a new man at the helm, a new president. He was the second vice president, then he was the first vice president, and he thinks he's the youngest president in association history. He is Ravin Murthy, and I'm delighted to welcome him to the studio. I've got to say congratulations, firstly. Was it a bit of a surprise?
Thank you, Nigel. It was a surprise, but it was a good one. We were very excited as a group to get this honour and to win the election, and we're excited about the possibility of moving forward.
So what did you do right to persuade enough people to say, you're the man?
We went into a great AGM. We had 2 good days of meetings and 2 good days of, you know, exchange of ideas. And it was just an opportunity to put forward a vision for the next couple of years. And I'm just happy to say that a lot of the directors bought into that and were able to move this thing forward.
What's the key to the vision? What attracted them to say, this might work?
The biggest thing about the vision is that this is a big country, but it's not an impossible country to make cricket work. And I think a lot of the focus has been on the things that are working against us, and we've stopped thinking about the things that work for us. And being in a position with a very, very interesting cultural mix in this country, and the fact that so many people love this game, the cornerstone of the vision is going after those people and trying to make sure that they come in and be part of the Cricket Canada family.
Easier said than done?
Everything's easier said than done, but I really believe that this is the way forward for us, so I think we're very excited about it.
So are you talking essentially, there's always politics involved, is it sort of a campaign of we're going after the grassroots, we can make this an affordable, attractive sport for youngsters, we've got to get more people actually just playing the game, is that what you're saying?
They're not just words. I don't think you'd find anyone in this organization who would say that that's not the way we have to go. The bottom line is the percentage of people that play under the Cricket Canada umbrella compared to the number of people who follow cricket in this country is very small, and we need to close that gap. And this is something that some of the other associations, like soccer, for instance, have managed to do, that even though people might support Italy or England or Germany or whoever, at the end of the day, they play soccer under CSA's umbrella, and that's why they're so big.
So that's something that's Cricket Canada can learn from, perhaps, you know, emulate?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think we got to look around at the other NSOs and see how they're being successful. And we feel like now we're in a position to do so. I think we've got good relationships right across the board. And, you know, we've got a good man in charge of our operations that's very well connected into Sport Canada and the government. And we should start to make strides there.
Those connections, Ravin, are so important. And you suggested there that, you know, you have to have a relationship with the politicians who hand out the money at the end of the year or every 4 years or how often they do it. And that is a key part of any sports or organization at the elite level. Does that money actually filter down to the kind of people that you're talking about and can be used to promote the sport and get those young people involved?
Well, absolutely. The challenge Cricket Canada has right now is that our biggest stakeholder, the International Cricket Council, is responsible not only for most of our funding, but they're also responsible to direct most of our funding. And we're very limited in where we can put that funding. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. It's very easy to say, well, Cricket Canada brings in X number of dollars, and why don't we spend it here instead of here? Why don't we spend it in grassroots instead of the senior team? Or why don't we spend it on coaching development as opposed to the junior teams? The unfortunate or fortunate, we'll call it part, is that we're mandated to put our money in certain places. The ICC is you know, very generous in what they give us, but at the same time, they are basically saying, we want these programs to run. And you can't blame them, because at the end of the day, they will be judged by how Canada plays, not only in the high-performance games that we play, but when we do get chances against full members, like at the World Cup, they look at those performances and say, what's the bang for our buck we're getting?
Interesting. Some critics might say a little short-sighted on behalf of the ICC. They give you the money, but they tell you where to spend it, but clearly not much of that focuses on the grassroots and the development of the game. And if you don't have a solid base, then you're not ultimately going to get success at the international level, are you?
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, if you put the shoe on their foot for a second, if it's not us, it could be someone else. And I'm sure, you know, they would tell you, well, you know, we want the game to grow. But at the end of the day, we sit down, we have a conversation with them every fall about how we're going to spend the money. Mm-hmm. And tours are expensive. You know, 10% of our budget can go on one tour. And, you know, the boys are in Africa right now. They were at the World Cup 2020 before. We were in Sri Lanka before. We were in Barbados before. At the end of the day, there's also a feeling that you cannot shortchange our team and not give them the best opportunity we can to help them win.
Can you change the way the ICC asks you to spend your money? Now that you are the president and you have a position of authority, are you and your executive in a situation where you can actually say to the ICC, we appreciate the support, but we'd like to spend it how we'd like to spend it?
Well, I think there's a couple of answers to that question. The first is working regionally with the ICC, where they have, in the ICC America's office, where they can focus a little bit more with their funding domestically, and their mandate is slightly different than the ICC in Dubai. So I think that's one place where we're going to be, you know, working with the ICC America's office to try and ensure that we do try and fund some of these grassroots programs. But the bigger question is, do you want to be an organization that is basically beholden to the ICC for this money every year and be in this same sort of, it's not a negative cycle, but in the same sort of cycle. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, what we're looking for is to say, look, there's so many schools in this country that are playing cricket. I was in a school 2 days ago where up until about a week and a half ago, they didn't have a cricket program. And this is not any type of school, you know, tucked away in an ethnic neighborhood somewhere in a city. This is just a, you know, regular Canada. And I go there and the first day they had 60 kids sign up and they had 40 kids come out to try out for the cricket team. I mean, the potential is unlimited. All we have to do is just figure out how we're going to harness it on a consistent basis.
So can you change the culture and change these youngsters' sporting interests and preferences one school at a time, if necessary?
If necessary. But I don't even think we need to change anything in terms of culture. Kids are going to play all sorts of sports.
Well, that's interesting. You say this is a hockey country. We can say it's a cricket country. We can say it's a soccer country. We can say, you know, there are all sorts of different diverse sporting interests. Mm-hmm. But you know as well as I do that kids growing up in school, be it by what they watch on TV or by what their mums and dads tell them or their older brothers tell them, you know, put a hockey stick in their hand. How do we change that without, as you say, literally going into one school at a time and saying, well, we'll put this stick in your hand. It's called a cricket bat.
You know, and this is part of the challenge that the organization has had, you know, sort of globally over the last couple of years. We didn't come here to go head to head with the NHL. We didn't come here to go head to head with the NFL.
But we'd all love to be where they are.
Oh, we would love to be. I mean, if I was in Paul Tagliabue's position, I would be very happy. But the idea here is that we are a sport that's a good sport. It's exciting. It's fun for kids to play. And we got to also kind of break the mold a little bit. Maybe not every kid wants to go and play 50-over cricket or even 20-20 cricket. There are fun games like continuous cricket. The Toronto District School Board, their tournament is only an 8-over game. But it's an 8-over game that's fun. It's engaging. The kids love it. And I was shocked when I walked into there and I said to the kids, okay, you bat, you bowl, let me see. You've got kids bowling with straight arms. You've got, you know, guys moving, getting in line with the ball and hitting it. And you know what, Nigel? That's what excites us. And that's what we should be doing, because that's what's, you know, we talked about funding. That's what's going to make the difference. When I can go to someone or Doug can go to someone and say, listen, we've got 1,000 schools now playing under the Cricket Canada umbrella. I'm not asking for charity. I'm giving you as a sponsor or a funder the opportunity to get access to that program. And that's where we want to be.
Is it not also hugely about education? You talk about going into the schools and you talk about an 8-over game. I speak to many, many people in this country who wouldn't know what an over is. They have no clue. They don't understand cricket. They think it's too difficult to grasp. They don't see the analogy with baseball, and frankly, nor do I, but sometimes it's a convenient way of trying to explain the game. Education to youngsters to give them a feel of basically this is the way the game is played in its simplest form is what Cricket Canada has a responsibility to do.
Yep, absolutely, we do. And I think this is something that we've worked on the last 4 or 5 years. You know, if you go to our website, there's a very soft image of the game. Wicket, our mascot, is very fun. It's an engaging thing. People will look at it, you know. The games we're trying to teach, again, we're not trying to teach 50-over or test cricket. We're simply trying to teach, hit the ball, have fun hitting the ball. We're getting people into the game. At the same time, with all the work that we've done, you know, with Sportsnet and some of the other broadcasters to try and get cricket on TV, we have thousands of people watching replays of our games that we lost, and people are still watching it. So I really think that, I mean, I've been doing this for almost 10 years now, and it has been at least 5 years before I had to get on the radio and explain cricket to someone or get on TV and explain cricket to someone. Now we're in a position where people want to talk about cricket. They want to talk about Rizwan Chima and Ashish Pagai and kind of Zubin Zukari sometimes, but not
never
really
heard of him.
Yeah, but they're excited about it, you know. And you know, I'm coming on this show and the people are listening to that, and they're paying attention to things that you people like yourself and Faraz are saying. It's a different time now.
It is beginning to change. There's no question about that. A couple of other things I want to talk about. You spoke about the fact that the ICC are very generous in the way they support the Canadian cricket landscape, but also want it spent the way they want it spent. So that brings me to funding issues. I mean, where is Cricket Canada and where is the relationship with corporate Canada and say, fine, you know, the big companies, in you come, and this is the bang we will give you for your buck if you support Canadian cricket, because it's not just about funding. Funding leads to awareness and broadcast and general interest in the game.
Well, I think that over the last 5 years, we've done a great job of putting the pieces in place. That we're on television now, we're across the country, well exposed, in the schools. I think, and it's not a challenge to Corporate Canada, but the message is it's also time for Corporate Canada to step up and support Canadian cricket. I'm happy to see Corporate Canada stepping up and supporting cricket, but now's the time to come up and support our athletes, our boys. Our stories are just as good as any other sports. Our responsibility now is to go and tell that story properly and form these partnerships.
Why is the Canadian story as good as the other stories? Because we look back at the Caribbean T20 at the start of the year, not a great start of the year. We look at the World T20 qualifiers. Canada came close, but not close enough. Mm-hmm. Corporate Canada surely wants to be able to support a winning team that has a positive story to tell.
Absolutely. And I would never say to you that we're doing well and everything's fine. We agree that we've got to make changes, but it's part and parcel of that partnership that, you know, we are a product of the system that we have. We are a product of the funding that we have. We're a product of the country that we have. We don't have some of the same opportunities, but we can't sit here and bemoan that. We got to go out there and say to Corporate Canada, here's an opportunity for you to be part of something special, right? You're going to get this opportunity in your organization, outside your organization, across this country to show that you're involved in something. There isn't anything quite like cricket that's going to break cultural barriers, that's going to be everywhere in this country and at the same time be a sort of softer face to try and bring people together.
But are we still therefore playing the ethnic card in terms of attracting corporate Canada?
I don't think that's necessary. I mean, we are an ethnic sport in a lot of ways and we're not afraid of that. No. But at the same time, we're a Canadian sport.
It's a multiracial sport, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a multiracial sport.
But is that the key to securing the big deals from corporate Canada?
I believe that it is. I think that when you start with something, you go to a corporation and you start talking multicultural marketing, that's not a bad thing, but it's limiting, right? I'm talking about a country that's a top 20 in the world team sport. How many do we have of those? You know, perhaps our volleyball team, perhaps our basketball team. Not to pick at it, it's not our soccer team.
No,
and,
it isn't.
And you know, we are playing in as many meaningful tournaments as they are. So we need to go out and we need to sell that to people that this is a high achieving group of young men and women that are going and doing the best they can. They're putting our colors, our country's name on their back, and somebody needs to be a part of that. And I'm not going to beg, but what we're going to do is we're going to sit down and we're going to tell our story, and we're confident. We're very, very confident in our story is a good story.
How long is it going to take?
Exactly 2 years.
I mean, here we are doing, you know, the archetypal question, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time, as they say? I mean, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
I'll go back half a step. The first thing we're going to do is we need to improve on that Sport Canada funding. And that was something that came up many, many times over the AGM weekend. And I know Zubin has spoken about it from a player standpoint. We cannot accept what we get from the government as fair. And we're in discussions about that. The government understands that. The Minister of Sport, I think, was on your show and came on and said it. We understand that.
Why is it not fair?
If you look at our men's team, you know, top 20 in the world, top 15 team in the world, say. You look at our women's team, best team in the region. You look at the number of schools that play cricket in this country, well over 1,000. And for all of that, and all the requirements that we need to meet with Sport Canada in terms of, and that we're happy to do in terms of official languages and being in every province and having national tournaments and stuff, what we get, it won't cover it. I mean, I mean it's publicly available. We get $78,000 from the Government of Canada. And it's great that we get it. We're not in a position to say no. But I think this is something that we all need to understand as people that follow the game and love the game. That's just not acceptable from our government. And we need to work with them, and we all need to come to the table and say, what is it about cricket? And I'm tired of hearing the excuse, well, you don't fit our guidelines because the ICC has 10 full members, and you know, the World Cup is not considered a World Cup, it's an invitational tournament, all that stuff. That's all got to stop. we've got good young athletes going out there and doing everything they can for Canada. And they're taking our brand and they're taking it to places that are important in this world. Emerging places where Canada needs to have a presence. Places like India, places like Sri Lanka, Pakistan. These are places where Canada can wield a lot of influence. And, you know, we are being asked to help countries like Afghanistan, which we should be very proud to do as a country. But at the same time, their cricket is going up, up, up. You know, they're building stadiums and, you know, they've got all these great things happening. We can't afford to ignore what we have in our own country too. And I'm not saying anything negative about another country, but we have to take care of what we have here as well.
But from the government's point of view, why cricket as opposed to all the other sports that come knocking at their door and saying, we need help here as well. Soccer, tennis, I mean, you know, the list is almost endless. Why is cricket a special case?
Cricket is not a special case. Cricket is, obviously, it's a special case to me in the sense that I'm passionate about it and I'm the leader of this organization. But at the same time, we need to have, as NSOs, we need to have that conversation with our government about how sports are funded, right? I mean, you remember in the late 80s or early 90s, Australia was a blip on the swimming map and a blip on the athletics map. And all of a sudden, they host the Sydney Games, and Australia is now, you know, one of the best athletic countries. And you know, they invested money and they actually invested in expertise. And where did that expertise come from? It came from here, right? You have guys like Alex Bauman going over there and teaching them how to run their high performance programs and set themselves up. This is the kind of stuff that we need to do as a country, and we need to look at it and say, listen, our athletes are amazing people and they do amazing things. And I don't think in my life I'll ever forget what it felt like to be in Vancouver in 2010. And we need to harness that and we need to put that into other sports.
Apples and apples and apples and pears. I mean, I look back and I remember being impressed by reading in some detail the plans that Ireland, for example, has to be a fully-fledged test-playing nation by 2020 and so on and so forth. Now, of course, it's apples and pears. There's geographical proximity. There are opportunities and so on and so forth. But essentially, we're talking about another associate member, just like Canada. So is there anything that Cricket Canada can take from the Cricket Ireland blueprint and say, we can do that too? Maybe not on that scale, but it's a decent pathway forward.
I think every challenge is different in the associates. And I think that what we are looking at is, and what Ireland has going for them, among many, many things, and Warren's doing a fantastic job over there, but what they have is that really good relationship with the ECB. And that helps them in a lot of ways. Coaching, it helps them in umpiring, it helps them, you know, with their players. An Irish player can go and play for the England Lions and not lose his eligibility to play for Ireland. So we don't have that. We've got one player, like Natasha's over in England right now. But we need to, from that standpoint, we need to find our players that are in that sort of 17 to 23-year-old age group and make partners with full member countries who can look after them. And, you know, I keep saying this, that the West Indies Cricket Board has been absolutely fabulous to us, and that, you know, this is part of that funding conversation, because the opportunities available to us in the West Indies Cricket Board, fantastic. We just need the money to make sure that we can participate.
So partnerships are key going forward.
Absolutely. And we're not looking for anything that's unreasonable. Our players are very talented and they can help a lot of teams. You know, I remember back in 2009, 2010, when I was the high performance manager, we were finding places for guys to go and play first class cricket in Sri Lanka. And, you know, Sri Lanka is a world champion and however many times semi-finalists and finalists of the World Cup, last two World Cups they've been finalists, and yet, you know, guys like Henry Asindia and Ashish Bagai and Ravindu Gunasekara all playing first-class cricket there. Our players are not, they're not going to hurt you when they come in.
The presidency, I understand, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, is a two-year term.
Absolutely.
So we wish you all success. You're going to get a lot of people like me asking you some nasty questions over the next couple of years, but it goes with the territory. By the time your re-election comes around in, I guess, 2014,
yeah,
is there one or two things that you want to say, I put my mark on this, I've achieved this, and I've taken Cricket Canada forward a step or two?
Well, one thing, Nigel, and I want you to correct me if I ever step out of line, but I don't want to be the person that said I too many times. If we're going to do anything, we got to do it as a group. And there's people right across the country. We're really lucky that we have so many good volunteers, so many people. I've never received so many emails and phone calls in my life with people just willing to say, what can I do? I don't want anything, but what can I do? This is a chance for us to go out and do something special. And 2 years from now, I really want to know that Cricket Canada did everything it could to improve grassroots, our senior programs, and just the perception of the organization, and be out there and saying, you know what, it's a viable business to be part of.
Mr. President, us. Pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Ravin Murthy is the new president of Cricket Canada. This is World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement.